In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's important to understand that St. Thomas' doubt of the word of the others to him that Christ had risen is a doubt that came from his love of Jesus Christ, the man. Jesus Christ, the man whom he knew was the Son of God, but it was his love of this man in the flesh. He couldn't be brought out of his despair and sadness by some story of a spiritual arising. It had to be the one whom he knew. It had to be Jesus, the Christ, the incarnate Son of God, that he had traveled with, the one that he loved. That was the one who he missed. That was the one who could restore joy to him. One of the many points that we can take from St. Thomas is that there is a joy that St. Thomas has that comes after his seeing the risen Christ, that is typical of the joy of any true Christian. It is typical of the joy of the saints. It is the joy of Saint Seraphim of Sarov. It is a joy that, for the most part, we lack as Christians. Even we seem to seek the temporary joy of the world, a joy that dies as soon as we have whatever thing of the world or whatever event that can take place in the world ends and is over. That isn't the kind of joy that comes from St. Thomas being able to touch Christ God, God incarnate, and at the same time, the man that he has known and loved as his Lord. This kind of joy, this specifically Christian joy, comes as the result of the transformation of loss and sadness into joy. Christians know that the opposite of despair is not joy. In terms of the world, that's how we understand things. But Christians know that joy is the result of the transformation of despair into joy. Out of death comes the new life. Out of darkness comes the light. Jesus Christ performs that transformation. He is all about that transformation. He ascends the cross, destroys death, enters the darkness of the tomb, the night, and light bursts forth from the tomb. It is about the transformation of death into life, despair into joy. That is the kind of joy that can be a continuing joy. It is the normal state for Christians. When we hear about how Christianity is a faith of joy, we're not prepared for the fact that it is not joy as the world understands joy. It is the joy that is the transformation of the despair and the agony and the suffering of this world. Because those things have been overcome by Christ, and in any Christian life, the overcoming of those things by their transformation into joy is normal. Now, in order for that to be, we have to have struggled to purify ourselves. Joy, Moses the Athenite said, is fed by virtue. We must make the effort to cleanse ourselves of all of those things that separate ourselves from Christ. We must make the spiritual effort to turn away from finding consolation in the passions and desires of this world. Passions and desires come, peak and fall. They crash and leave us with nothing. It's the same with any joy of the world that we seek. Sometimes we look forward to some great thing that there's a good possibility may happen in our life. All of a sudden there's something off on the horizon that we can look forward to. A higher position, moving to a place that seems like it might be the place for us, almost a paradise for us, because all of the things are there that we would like to have be a part of our lives. Or some sudden source of wealth, or some entertainment, a great entertainer coming so nearby that we can go and see that person perform, or Broadway show, or a play, a motion picture. We want something to be able to look forward to. We want something to be able to prepare for. But in every case, once we have seen, once we have gained whatever advantage in life that we were looking forward to, the chances are that the joy that we had looked forward to was all in the anticipation. It was all in the hope that this would be something that would make a difference in our lives. It can even happen to us as Orthodox Christians during Great Lent, Holy Week, and finally Pascha. If our preparation, grudging at first, the beginning of Great Lent, it comes before we're ready, it seems like, almost every year. Some years we look forward to it. I've experienced that. But some years, we just kind of begin. At some point, it may be halfway through Lent, it may be three quarters through Lent, maybe almost the end of Lent. It may be the beginning of Holy Week when we start the bridegroom services. Or it might be Holy Wednesday when we're in the middle of Holy Week. But at some point, we begin to anticipate Pascha and all of the things that it means. And then Pascha arrives. And then, suddenly, Pascha is past, over, done. All of the preparations were accomplished in that one night, that one day. And there is such a phenomenon as a kind of postpartum depression after Pascha, a post-Pascha depression for many people. And if there is, then we know that we made Pascha into one of those worldly events that our emotions looked forward to and that we prepared for in a worldly way more than in the spiritual ways that we were encouraged to prepare. Father Schmemann called Great Lent a time of bright sadness. And he called it that because he understood that it is a preparation for the specifically Christian joy that is the transformation of death into life, of despair into joy. If that isn't our experience of Pascha, if that isn't our experience not of that one isolated event of Pascha, but of the pursuit of our Christian life, then Pascha will not be for us what Pascha is meant to be. And so as we reflect on Pascha, we are brought in this second Sunday of Pascha, St. Thomas Sunday, to consider St. Thomas. After the crucifixion, his heart fell. The Lord God incarnate, Jesus the Christ, had been taken in death. His body lay entombed, and no one could console him with stories about his resurrection. Only the reality of his resurrection in the body, the one that he had known, only that could not console him. It wasn't about consolation. Only that could transform his despair, his loss, into joy. That is Christian joy. That kind of joy can go on forever. That kind of joy can be fed by the overcoming of every sadness-inducing event of the world. We're in the midst of a presidential campaign that has got to be a source of despair for almost everyone. How can we transform this despair that we feel, this despair according to the values of the world that we have trusted in, whatever those values are, into joy. Only by recognizing that the solution, the resolution of our desire for joy and fulfillment cannot come by way of this world. If we can have compassion on all of us, the others who are suffering because of the condition of the world, and see all things in the light of the resurrection of Christ, we can have this special sadness transformed into joy. This perspective on the world where the world is no longer too much with us. We can identify with that love of the world and at the same time experience the fact that it has been overcome by Christ's resurrection. There is no terrible thing that can happen in this world that cannot be dealt with by Christ's resurrection. And our living as the bearers of this new joy. We heard from the first letter of St. John, and St. John was very clear, very direct. He said, "We heard and we saw and we touched that which was from the beginning." He means heard, saw, and touched the one who had created the universe, him incarnate, God incarnate. They heard, saw, and touched. It's the same thing that St. Thomas saw and touched. But now it's become a proclamation, something that's being told to others. What St. Thomas experienced, touching the Christ, hearing his words, "Thomas, be not doubting, but believe," has become the proclamation of St. John and all the apostles. We have heard, we have seen, we have touched that from the beginning. And we proclaim this to you that your joy may be full. That's what he says. The message is about joy, a joy that overcomes despair of the world. In the course of our young lives, when we are first young adults, long about 12 years old, we're no longer children, and the playthings of our childhood no longer satisfy us. And about that time, a search begins for some way to alleviate boredom of life. Something must be exciting enough to make a difference in my life. And we began to seek in all the wrong places for some source of joy in our lives. That's why we begin going to confession at about that time. Moses the Athonite says, "Joy is like food to the soul. It keeps us alive." A soul that is filled with joy is a soul that is fully living, and we want joy. We want an alleviation of the boredom and despair that we come to realize is all around us at a certain point in our lives. And he says, you can't buy joy. You can't go to what we would call today a store and buy something that will give you joy. There is no amount of money that you could spend on any number of things or objects or buildings or possessions or experiences even that will give you a lasting joy. Once you have it, you don't long for it anymore. The source of joy was the longing. That's the way it is with the world. That kind of joy cannot last. The only kind of everlasting joy that there is the joy of the resurrection. And the resurrection is a resurrection of that which had been killed, that which had been taken away and lost, and now it is restored. When we look out at the world, we find nothing but loss. All of the spiritual needs and desires that we have as human beings are left unfulfilled. The world is such a place of sadness. and the effort to find some way to distract ourselves from that sadness. In every case, that sadness can be transformed into joy by the presence of God, the presence of Christ. For the most part, with the exception of the direct experience of the presence of God, which is not an impossibility, in most cases, that transformation is performed by one of us Christians, who is the presence of Christ for someone else in despair. And then suddenly there is someone there who loves that person, who has compassion on that person, who knows the suffering and the agony of another person, and as a Christian, identifies with it, doesn't run away from it, and is able to transform that shared suffering by the suffering of Christ, because we are Christians, and because we are part of the body of Christ, and we can be the resurrection of faith and hope and desire for God by our presence to another person. Doing that is the evangelical witness of the joy of the resurrection of Christ. That is how the Christian faith is spread from one person to another. It may not be accepted by the person. They may be desperate to find some solution of their own, something other than Christ, something of this world. It may be rejected. What is our response? Compassion. Compassion and love for that person that still transforms that event into an event that has been changed as far as its meaning. Instead of being something that we can only turn away from in anger or despair or disgust for that person, we have compassion for that person because we are held up by the transformation of our temptation to despair into the joy of Christ. And so there is nothing in this world that can put an end to this new joy that Christ has brought into the world. There is no little death that we can experience where we cannot bring the presence of Christ and be the presence of Christ and have the presence of Christ within ourselves so that despair will never destroy our joy. That is the joy of St. Thomas. That is the joy of resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.